He's coming home!
I was going to start this podcast off by doing the Johnny Barnes rap, but I thought that was better because it is actually coming home. Anyway, welcome back to another podcast. As you can tell, we will be talking about the World Cup, specifically our picks for the England squad and the starting 11. Before we get into any of it, though, I am joined by my brother Stephen.
Hello.
How are you doing tonight?
Really good, yeah.
Sean Dyche over there.
Sean Dyche, yeah.
Joined by my brother Stephen.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see Sean Dyche do the old John Barnes, right, wouldn't it? You got to hold and give. And do it right.
He'd be better than Peter Beardsley, I know that much. I think anyone would be better than Peter Beardsley. Yeah, so as I said, we'll be talking about the England squad and England starting 11 for our picks for going into the World Cup. Before we get into any of that, though, starting with our England squad, how would you have set up the golden generation? I'm specifically talking about the midfield here.
Yeah.
Because I've asked you the question before, Gerrard, Scholes or Lampard, and I know the order that you'd rank them in, but who would you have started in that combination? I mean, would you have started one or two of them? I know you wouldn't have started all three. Would you have played a holding midfielder with them? What are your thoughts?
I'd have started Scholes and Gerrard in the middle, someone out on the left, and someone else out on the right.
So you would have played 4-4-2?
Yeah.
You thought they could have played together, even though they're both attacking-minded? Because to me, playing Gerrard and Scholes is as bad as playing Gerrard and Lampard. They both want to bomb forwards all the time. And you can't blame him, because that's the way they're playing.
But Scholes can sit deep and ping balls left, right,
yeah, but
centre.
That was when he was later on in his career, because he retired from England pretty early, didn't he? But he started off as a number 10.
Yeah. But then you just mix it. It's not hard to direct players, is it? It's like if you go, Gerrard, if Scholes bombs past you, then you need to sit and hold.
No, I know, but
vice versa.
Him sitting and holding the manager wouldn't be as good as a natural holding midfielder. Say, for example, Nicky Butt, I think I was talking about in 2002 when Gerrard was injured. Yeah, Michael Carrick as well, because Michael Carrick is one of the most underrated players, and he should have got so many more caps for England. And that's going to be a constant theme. There's a reason why I started off with that question, because my squad, a constant theme that I'm going to bang on about, is playing players in their correct positions. So going into it, what would your England squad be? Starting with the keepers, the three keepers.
My goalkeepers would be Pickford, Pope and Ramsdale.
Of course, that would be naturally. Yeah, that's fine. Was Dean Henderson unlucky to miss out?
No.
Yeah, fair enough. Fullbacks, because I could just lump them all together, defenders. Mm. But Trippier, Walker, Trent and Shaw, would they have been the four fullbacks you'd have picked? Or would you have taken another left-back, an authentic left-back?
I think because Trippier can play there, then no, I'd agree with his fullbacks.
Yeah, because you see, this is me banging on already about playing players in their correct positions, because I would have taken Mitchell. I would have taken James Justin, even though he's right-footed, but he plays left-back for Leicester, although he ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah.
So Mitchell's been all right for Palace, and it's just cover for Shaw if Shaw gets injured. If Chilwell was fit, Chilwell would have been a shoe-in, however circumstances, of course.
What about Jed Spence?
He's a right-back. And I don't know his agent.
I know, but Jed Spence could play right back and then he could play triple left back.
That's who we didn't talk about either, Emerson Royale, on the podcast previously. Because did you see his pass against Leeds that he tried to switch the play? He just gave it to the Leeds player and sent him central midfield.
Yeah, because I wrote down Royal Rubbish.
Yeah, honest, it was worse than that. It was awful. And yet Jed Spence can't get a game.
That's because Conte doesn't know his agent.
We do. Anyway. Would you have taken Reece James? Because he's been a little bit vocal in recent weeks. I say vocal, there's just been some stuff that he's been putting on social media that's almost throwing shade at Gareth Southgate. He also made it clear in one of his Instagram posts that he thinks he's fit enough to go to the World Cup. And when you compare it to Kyle Walker, who's been out with groin surgery, been out roughly the same time as Reece James, hasn't played football in that time, and Kyle Walker's going, Reece James isn't.
Yeah, I mean, Reece James has been injured more recently, as in he picked up his injury more recently, didn't he? Kyle Walker was injured a few weeks before.
But they still, that means surely Kyle Walker will be even less fit though, because he hasn't played any football since then.
I'm thinking maybe more recovery times and he's got done fitness and all that sort of stuff potentially. Because before they play, they obviously have to do rehab and all that sort of, so he might be a bit further along with that. And there was also that thing about Tony as well, wasn't there, that he put on social media, Reece James?
That if I talk, I'm in trouble.
Yeah,
in trouble.
I think he knows that this is going to be Southgate's last tournament anyway, doesn't he? It's Southgate's last one, no matter what.
But regardless, even if he wins the World Cup, I still think it would stand down. I just don't think he's got another one in him after this.
No, exactly. So, I mean, there's arguments for and against, really. I mean, I wouldn't take someone who's not fit anyway. Like, is there not someone else? I mean,
would you have taken Kyle Walker? Because surely Kyle Walker isn't fit.
What's that mean? Why would you take him? Like, surely you've put Mitchell there
as a left back, yeah.
Yeah. Or why could he not take? I know we're not looking at him yet, but why could he not take Tomori then? Because Ben White can play right back. He's been doing it for Arsenal.
That's a very good point. Yeah. Because it's always a risk taking players that are injured. We're lucky in a way that we've got such an abundance of right backs because it's got Trent and Trippier in there as well.
Oh, you haven't even mentioned Wan-Bissaka.
Oh, he played, talking of Ten Hag, he played Malacia right back, didn't he? Wan-Bissaka's done at that football club.
Yeah.
If all the right backs were fit and playing though, would you have taken Trent? Yeah. Hypothetical. Yeah.
Yeah, I would. But I'd still move Trent further up. I wouldn't take him as a defender. Field. Yeah. Because I think Trent's probably one of the best passers in that team.
I know, but if he's not doing it at Liverpool week in, week out, I can understand not playing Trent in central midfield for a major tournament. Yeah. Like, it's too late to experiment. And Gareth Southgate, credit where credit's due, did try and experiment with him once to play him in central midfield, and Jurgen Klopp criticised him for it.
But don't Ukraine play Zinchenko sort of midfield in a higher position? And then Man City was using him at left back.
Yeah.
So it can be done internationally. They
but I
switch.
Think Zinchenko was signed as a central midfielder and then Pep Guardiola changed him to a left back.
Maybe.
Yeah. How would you rate the four right backs anyway? It's just a question in general. Reece James, Kyle Walker, Kieran Trippier, Trent. If you had to give an order of how you'd rate them.
Well, it used to be, because obviously we had the Reece James, Alexander Arnold arguments, didn't we, where I said James was a better defender, but he's looked a little bit shaky at times this season. I'd say at the moment, the one starting at right back is Trippier for me.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah.
And when we get to the 11s. Yeah.
He can defend, and he's also got a good range of passing. His set pieces, as we discussed in the other one.
Yeah.
And he takes free kicks.
Yeah.
Well, it's a no-brainer.
Remember the free kick against Croatia.
And Walker's always got that lapsing concentration on him. Defensively. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
I think the only reason why he's still... Well, he's such an important part for City, but that's because of the recovery pace.
Yeah.
Where they get caught so high up the pitch sometimes, and they just need Walker... transitions to track back.
Both used to be at Spurs, didn't they? Walker and Trippier.
Yeah, yeah. And Danny Rose, because there was a time when it was Walker and Danny Rose and they were arguably the two best fullbacks in the league. Danny Rose, who wanted to go to Inter Milan.
Yeah.
Centre halves. Now, Southgate's taken Stones, Maguire, White, Dyer and Cody. Who would you have taken?
I wouldn't have taken Maguire.
You wouldn't have taken Maguire?
No, I would have taken Tomori.
I mean, I would have taken Tomori. I would start Tomori if he was in the squad. Well, but that means you would have taken Cody over Maguire.
Yeah, Cody's been playing more.
But then, because I think I've asked you this question before, but to elaborate in a bit, should players be picked purely on form, on who has performed for England while Southgate's been manager, or both?
No, you've got to be playing for your international team. You've got to be playing for your club, and you've got to be performing. It's not been performing at United. He's not been performing all season. He's lucky he got an injury, which kept him out. Like we said, he needed a bit of time out.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason that we're doing good going into the World Cup, because I think he's going to have quite a good tournament.
Yeah, but Southgate's reasonings for some of them, I listened to them here and there, and it wasn't my word, but completely agreed with him on social media. He's sort of saying about why he's not taking Tammy Abraham, or because he's not hitting form at the moment, he's not been that good this season, but you're taking Maguire.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just... contradictory, yeah. Hypocritical, but then Maguire, you can argue, has always performed for Southgate playing for England.
Not in the Nations League, he didn't.
Not in the Nations League.
None of them did.
You hang on a minute. What have you said in the past about the Nations League? Glorified friendlies. What about the World Cup where he scored against Sweden in the quarters to get us through to the semis? It doesn't matter. Even in the Euros, he banged that penalty in against Italy in the final.
Yeah, all right. And that's still 2 years ago. Well,
a year.
3 years.
No, it was 2021. The summer of 2021.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Why do I think it was 24?
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, yeah. But you're talking about one penalty and a performance from 4 years ago.
Because he'd been solid. I'm not talking about just one penalty and a performance from 4 years ago. He's been solid for England.
Calm down, dude.
No, because...
Calm down.
Don't get me wrong. I can understand the argument that you pick players based on form. But we're not blessed with centre-halves.
So your argument then being that... We should take Tomori, but it should have been over Cody or...
I'd left out Dyer as well, which was quite difficult. And I've only left out Dyer because of the last month. Prior to the form over the last month, he's taken Dyer. Prior to his form over the last month, I think I would have been starting Dyer. But I think he's been that poor in recent weeks that bit him off.
Well, I haven't even mentioned Gay from Palace.
No.
And he'd be above Dyer for
and
me.
And Palace have conceded less goals than Tottenham this season.
I know.
Who knows? I can't believe Cody's going though, full stop. He might talk a lot and be a great character in the dressing room, but beyond that,
What a buy.
Midfielders, any complaints to the midfielders that you picked? Calvin Phillips is going. I take it you saying that you'd only pick players that are playing, you wouldn't have picked Calvin Phillips.
Well, he's been injured as well.
He's been injured pretty much all this season, yeah. And he had massive injury problems at Leeds last season.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing that he does a job for many plays.
That's a risk, that one.
He's the only other defensive midfielder, isn't he? Unless you're going to play Henderson there. I didn't really understand Gallagher, personally. I thought Harvey Elliott's been doing better things for Liverpool than Gallagher's been doing for Chelsea.
That's not a bad
shout,
he'd
be worth a shout.
Yeah, because it seemed like a toss-up between Gallagher and Ward-Prowse, but I didn't think about Harvey Elliott.
Yeah, I mean, Ward-Prowse, Southampton have been so poor, haven't they?
Yeah.
So it's a bit difficult with him, because if you're playing in a poor team, and I mean, you might still be creating bits here and there, but it's difficult, isn't it?
The only argument I'd have against Harvey Elliott is when you've got players like Mason Mount, James Maddison, Jack Grealish in the squad already, is Harvey Elliott not similar to those? Gallagher gives a little bit more defensive solidity.
Maybe.
If he were to even play, I don't think he's going to play.
No, he's not. But then Mount's not been that good this season either.
No. Fair enough. And I wouldn't have taken Phillips, by the way. I'd play Henderson, Holding. But Rice would be my first choice. Henderson would be backup. And then Bellingham and Maddison are the two.
Yeah, Henderson can do a job there, can't he?
Exactly, exactly that. And he'd be enough cover for Rice.
But he likes playing two defensive midfielders anyway.
Well, that's because when he plays the five, he plays Rice and Phillips, doesn't he? Yeah. As in the two central midfielders, when he plays the five at the back. Forwards in general, wingers as well. Because I think this is where we're going to disagree the most because of the last name that I've included. But this comes back to the point about you play players in their best positions.
What, Sancho are you talking about?
So I've taken Sancho and I've left out Grealish.
Oh, no. So yeah, I will disagree with you on that. I think Grealish is direct with the ball.
Yeah, but he hasn't been that direct for me this season.
He's been better than Sancho though this season.
But...
And he's had an injury and come back from injury.
Yeah. The argument... Because I made this decision while I was drafting the outline today, sitting there thinking, as I always do. The argument that I have, you could play Foden on the left, you play Rashford on the left, you play Sterling on the left. They are all better in that position. Grealish plays in the same position. So technically, you're taking four left wingers, leaving Saka as just your right winger. Sancho is better off the right, therefore take Sancho, drop a left winger, and out of Foden, Rashford and Sterling, Grealish has probably been the worst this season.
I mean, Sterling can play on the right. Foden can play on the right as well, but he's better off
he's
on the
so
left.
He's so much better on the left. He plays on the right because Sterling plays on the left.
I'd argue that Grealish has been better than Sterling this season.
But, yeah, which is fair enough. And then this is why I thought you'd make that argument. However, Sterling has a proven record of doing it for England because he did it in the last tournament.
But you can't do it based on nostalgia and what they've done previously. It's a brand new tournament. Start again.
I know, but if you're going to choose someone who's been there, done it for you before, as opposed to someone that's maybe a little bit unproven, you're always going to pick someone that's proven and done it.
Sometimes you need to give people a chance to prove themselves.
Mm. We'll see.
Can't make a name for yourself if you're not given a chance.
No, I know. And don't get me wrong, some of the treatment of Grealish in the last tournament, when I think it was Denmark, he was brought on, then taken off in extra time, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was just stupid.
Yeah, well... You know what I think about Southgate?
Yeah. Was it the right decision to leave out Tony?
No.
I'm in complete agreement. Yeah, but it's facts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolute facts.
You've just been deaded. I wouldn't have taken Rashford, but he's obviously taken Rashford because he can use him on the wing.
You wouldn't have taken Rashford?
As in Rashford over Tony.
Oh, right. But you would have taken Rashford in your squad in general?
Yeah, in general. But they were saying the three strikers, because you look at it, how they put the midfielders, like when they released the squad, and the three strikers were Kane, Wilson and Rashford. So he's taken Rashford as a striker. That's obviously because he can put him wide. So like you said in the previous podcast, versatility.
He's so much better off the left.
But if you're talking about as an actual striker, it'd be Kane, Wilson and Tony for
me. And I mean, who would you have picked, Wilson or Tony, if it was just those two?
I think I'd have probably gone for Tony.
Yeah, you and me both, because he scored more goals this season. Don't get me wrong, I really like Callum Wilson. I think he's a quality centre forward. However, Tony has been better this year.
Yeah, and Tony's got 100% pen rate as well. And Wilson's just a little bit more injury prone.
Exactly. Because if Wilson gets injured, that just leaves Harry Kane. Or Rashford, like you're saying. But Rashford, for me, is so much better off the left. Yeah. He's not centre forward. So ultimately, from Gareth Southgate's initial squad, I've left out Cody, Dyer, Phillips and Grealish. The latter will probably be the most controversial. How would you rate Southgate's squad overall?
Uh, pretty good. It's all right. I think, like I say, some of his reasonings are, I think, nonsense. Just but that's his squad. If he thinks that's the one that's going to win him a World Cup, then so be it. But it'll be interesting to see what we do against Iran. He needs, for me, he needs to just go hell for leather. We've got so much attacking talent. You just need to go out there, try and play everyone off the park, try and score as many goals as you can, look good doing it, and entertain people.
It's not going to happen, and I don't really think that's how international football works, because we've disagreed on this before. However, coming to that point...
Hang on. Brazil. Spain. Yeah.
Are we Brazilians?
Holland.
Are we Brazilians?
We've tried
to be expansive in the past and it hasn't worked. I can put up with turgid football for seven games.
No.
Because seven games is the most that we're ever going to play.
No. Even World Cup 98, we played some decent stuff. Michael Owen was electric. So this nonsense about, play dire football and we're not there and we're not this.
Yeah, and what round did we get to in World Cup 98?
Round of 16.
Exactly. That proves my point. What round did we get to in 2018? Semi-finals against Croatia. Don't give me any of this crap about, it was so much easier to get there. We've had easy-ish draws in the past and not done it.
Argentina, who got to the semi-final.
I don't care.
And got knocked out in the 90th minute by Dennis Bergkamp.
Which we'll be talking about on a future podcast. Euro 2000, didn't even get out of the group stages.
Who was in the group stage? Romania, Germany and Portugal?
Yeah.
And we beat Germany, didn't we?
Yeah,
Portugal were 2-0 up against them, I remember right.
And we lost 3-2 because that was in Gerrard's autobiography.
Awful.
But then Romania, all we had to do was win the final. Yeah, but that was all we had to do.
Yeah, but that was Philip Neville giving away a penalty right at the death, wasn't it? So that cost us just decision making.
I would love to be like Brazil, but we're not like Brazil.
Yeah, but I was just saying that not all international football was like that. You've got the old sound.
Of course not all international football like that.
Have you seen the new Nike advert, by the way?
I haven't. They always do banging ones.
They're all raving about it. It's okay. They create this time machine and Ronaldinho comes back and they're trying to see who's better between Mbappe and Ronaldinho. And then they bring back Ronaldo. But it's the 2002 Ronaldo and someone goes, the 98 Ronaldo is much better, and they're just bringing all these players back in time. It's quality.
I'm going to go back and watch that, because I don't know if you remember the 2014 Nike adverts about winner stays on, and Nike do good adverts is what I'm saying. It's what I'm rambling.
The first one I remember was the Brazil airport one, World Cup 98. You're a bit young for that. But they're doing all these keepy uppers and everything, and Ronaldo hits the post right at the end.
What about the one in the cage? Was that Nike as well? Because I think that's like the gold standard.
Oh, that's
amazing. Yeah.
One goal wins. Yeah. That was the school. Funny enough, I've seen someone sell that scorpion ball and it's scuffed up as anything. They want $4,000 on eBay for a football.
Bloody hell.
Right.
Well, talking of selling footballs, you know, the Hand of God football is up for sale, and I think that's gone for millions, because his shirt, the Maradona's shirt, was up for sale, and that went for a ridiculous amount.
About
£9
million or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, crazy. Absolutely crazy.
$1 billion.
It's because it had a bit of Coke stashing sewn into the side of the side of the
shirt.
It was
made out of Coke, wasn't it?
Yeah. I can't blame him with the pressure on the guy.
Pressure.
Yes. So anyway, going back to the point that I was going to say before we just went off on a complete tangent, you're talking about going hell for leather. What would your starting 11 be?
So in goal I'd go with Pickford.
Sorry, before you finish it off, just because previously, and I have you on record saying this from a different podcast, Nick Pope, my number one, he's the best shot stopper out of all three of them.
But then I saw him on penalties.
He saved three against Palace the other day.
The Havertz one in Germany, the international.
Yeah, that's Nations League.
That's what I'm going by.
Fair enough. Anyway, defence?
I've gone Trippier, White, Stones and Shaw. Then I've gone Rice in midfield, Bellingham and Maddison just in front of him, and then Saka, Kane and Foden up top.
Yeah. Now, I completely agree, besides starting Ben White. I love Ben White, don't get me wrong, I think he's been brilliant this season, but I don't trust Ben White playing next to John Stones. I think they're both too lightweight. Ben White has also been good this season playing right back, to put him in playing centre half. Just don't trust him. Having said all of that, I don't really trust Harry Maguire, even though he's the one that I've put and that I'm going to start. If Tomori was there in the squad, I'd be playing Tomori.
Oh, he's not there though, is he?
No. So I have to play Maguire, just because him and Stones have been the foundation of the defence in the past two tournaments.
Fair enough.
That's my reasoning.
We can't all be right.
And I can't pick, yeah. And I just can't do it to myself and pick Eric Dier.
No. Old 50p-ed.
Yes. Would you change to a back five if we were to play better opposition, stronger opposition, going deeper into the tournament?
No. Trust what you got.
Fair enough.
We're supposed to be one of the most talented squads we've had since the Golden Generation. They keep hearing about all this attacking talent. Unleash them.
Yeah, because the counter argument to that is, even though we're stronger going forwards, to try and protect the defence, we put more men behind the ball. And obviously you just go, nah.
Unleash the fury. That's a Snake Eyes quote. You wouldn't have seen that film.
Nah.
Nicolas Cage is another film. It's a good film.
Fair enough. Who's the most important player in this team? And who's the best player in this team? Do they differ?
Most important player is probably going to be Rice.
Yeah.
And the best player is probably going to be Madison. Or Bellingham, actually.
You see, most important for me would either be Rice or Bellingham. I'd even be leaning towards Bellingham because I think he's one of the only central midfielders that can pick up the ball off the back four and drive forwards, take it forwards and carry us up the pitch. Best player, if you're going on form, then yeah, it probably would be Madison. But I'd go with Kane just because the records that he's, or the goal scoring record for Tottenham.
Like,
we'll only have success if Harry Kane does it for us.
Yeah, well, I'm not going with Kane.
Nah, but for obvious reasons. What area of the pitch are we weakest?
Left back.
What, just with Luke Shaw?
Yeah.
So you've got to be centre-half, surely?
Well, yeah, if Maguire plays, we're
you know he's going to play. He's going to play every game. Even though I've got him in my starting 11, but I want Tomori there. I can't believe he hasn't picked Tomori, just to keep banging on about it. The bloke won Serie A last season.
I still can't believe it's not better.
Shut up. Oh my God. And finally, how far do you think England can go?
Round of 16.
How far do you expect us to go? Is it the same answer, round of 16?
Group stage.
So, you know, if we win the group...
You laugh.
Yeah.
USA are a decent team.
I know USA are a decent team.
Iran, we should win.
Yeah, but they're going to sit behind the ball and make it difficult.
So we'll probably draw. And Wales are going to be up for it. If Wales can get our scalp at a World Cup, that's what we don't... We always look at how much quality we got on the pitch and how good we are. We always disregard mentality and what it means. Like, to those Welsh players, what it would mean to beat us at a World Cup, even to get a draw. Look at Scotland. We're the only team that that England didn't beat at the World Cup, blah, 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 barring Italy.
The Euros.
The Euros, sorry, barring Italy. And they're celebrating it. Like, they're celebrating a dross 0-0. Right.
I know, it's mental, isn't it? Although we played Wales Euro 2016, didn't we? And that was Daniel Sturridge's last-minute winner, if you remember that game.
It took a last-minute winner, though, didn't it? Which was appalling.
Proved the point, though, that Wales were up for it a bit more, even though we were just dross that tournament.
Yeah, but did they get to a semi-final, Wales, that year?
They did. Yeah. They did, because they beat Belgium in the quarters. Haraldson Kanu with his Cruyff turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got him a new contract at a different club, that did.
Quality goal. Yeah, fair play to him.
Because there was, I think in the semi-final, whoever they lost to, they had 48% of the ball.
And Portugal is who they lost to.
Yeah, and someone said, see, look, you can win with 48% in reference to the Brexit vote.
So, because that would have been 2016 around the time, isn't it? You know what, I said that was the final question, but I am going to ask one more that I've written down here, just because it's quite a funny story it leads to.
Yeah.
Do you read much into the squad numbers the players have been given? So, for example, Sterling and Rashford have been given 10 and 11 respectively. Mm. Basically, what I'm saying is, if you're given 1 to 11, surely that should signify that you're starting?
50 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't read too much into it these days. What's the Crouch story about?
So this is why I'm in agreement with you to finish off, just to go back to Force of Habit, because ahead of the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, Peter Crouch was given the number 9 shirt by Fabio Capello. So he called his dad saying, oh yeah, I'm going to be starting all the games. I'm number 9. They give me the number 9 shirt. He played a handful of minutes, one substitute appearance, I think. In the number 9 shirt, so it really doesn't matter at all. Yeah, I think that about wraps it up though. Just a quick fire go through the England squad and England 11. I was also quite interested to hear that you'd just scrap the five at the back and play 4-3-3 the whole tournament.
Just smash it. Just go and fill your boots.
You know that's not going to happen.
Of course not.
We shall see how we get on though.
I've gone 1-0 up, exciting. And no one wants to defend against Iran. Thank you.
Hey, well.
Ben sat there going, this is the greatest football I've seen in my life.
I don't care if it's crap football if it gets us far. They're not my club. I'm only going to watch them for a maximum of 7 games.
It's the wrong mentality.
Cool. But you talking about you want to have the mentality of winning, we'd be more likely to win, surely.
Winning.
Yeah, we'd be more likely to win being defensively solid.
Maybe.
Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah, thank you very much for listening. You can get involved with all the posts and socials because you'll be seeing our starting 11s and our squads going out there. And yeah, you shall hear us on the next one.
Cheers. Goodbye.